Morning show on Sports Radio 90 time the game. Day after Clemson ends the college football season with a phenomenal performance last night against Alabama. And that's the only word for it, because as great as everybody talks, welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh, about Trevor Lawrence, and he's going to be the big star and, you know, freshman and superstar in the making, Heisman and yada, 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 347 yards, three touchdowns. That Clemson defense was really something last night.
Yes, they were. They were hunting last night. There's no question about that.
I mean, Alabama kicked a field goal 42 seconds into the second quarter. That was the last points they got.
Alabama tried to run the punter as a lead blocker. That was funny. That was hilarious. A lead blocker, the punter. You can't do anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, that was almost a desperation move in a lot of ways.
Who are you fooling, though?
I'm nobody.
Nobody at all.
I mean, there's no reason for you to try to block it if you're Clemson. Just stay home on the fake. And doing it without Dexter Lawrence, and boy, the job that Dabo Swinney did. And so it'll be interesting to see what the fallout of this game is. Look, these two programs have so dominated college football. Now do we get a, you know, remember everybody said, oh, we cannot, and by the way, they're not going to expand the playoffs, but we can't expand the playoffs. Look how crappy the semifinal games are. All right, we should get rid of the semifinal. I guess we should get rid of the title game, because apparently no good either. Because last night it was no good. I mean, that thing was over. You know, I mean, you could have turned it off the second that Alabama missed a fake field goal, because at that point, it was over.
You know, you felt you had to feel at some point like Alabama could have came back. They're a fourth quarter team, you know, and that was the feeling. But as the game went on, John, you started to feel like, man, they seem like they're a little bit overwhelmed. It felt like Alabama was a little bit overwhelmed, which was weird.
Yeah,
it was
a weird
feeling, because Alabama doesn't get overwhelmed. They do the overwhelming. So that was one of those things you're looking at and you're like, wow, this is really, really happening. Like, Alabama's about to lose. Like, and they're about to, like, not only lose, they're about to get beat down. Like, that's a statement game.
I mean, you think about it, they've lost so rarely. You know, they lost to Auburn a couple of times. Remember the great Cam Newton game, you know, 2 years ago when, you know, Auburn knocked them off, with, you know, and that kept them out of the title game, or at least the SEC title game. They still won the national championship. And then, of course, you had the Cam Newton game, where Cam Newton led that stirring comeback, the Johnny Manziel game. But, I mean, when was the last time Alabama was a long
like a shift.
Time?
Like a shift, yeah.
So it just interesting stuff, all that fallout here about Alabama's big loss to a couple of other big stories that are going on besides the national title game, including those surrounding the Atlanta Falcons. The man who's in the know of the Atlanta Falcons, that would be one, D. Orlando Ledbetter.
D. Led,
what up?
Hey, greetings, John and Hugh. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Hey, thanks for getting up this morning, D. Led. I know it's a little early for you, so we appreciate that.
Hey, D. Led, you watch a lot of football. Is Trevor Lawrence Peyton Manning?
Well, I like his deep balls. I like his throws outside the boundary. Want to see the crossing route before I go all the way there. But, yeah, I've been watching that kid since his sophomore year at Cartersville. He would have his own kind of weekly highlight show, you know, on the high school prep shows. And good to see that it's translating into college for him. Sometimes it doesn't. But he's off to a great start, and he can just polish and refine himself, and the sky appears to be the ceiling for this guy.
D-Led, have you ever seen Alabama get handled the way that they got handled last night?
Parts of the Ohio State game, you know, when the Buckeyes beat him, when Zeke ran all over him, was similar, but not, it wasn't total domination from start to finish like we saw last night. It was a great game by Coach Sweeney and the Clemson Tigers.
D-Led joining us, D. Orlando Ledbetter, of course, Atlanta Journal-Constitution, covers the Atlanta Falcons. This hour of the show brought to you by Renter's Warehouse. D-Led, let's get back into the Falcons, and we could talk a little college football on the back end. But you are following the developments there in Flowery Branch. Let's start with the lead here, which is Dirk Koetter has been offered, as we understand it, the position to return as offensive coordinator. Do you expect that that will happen, and will it happen today?
We're anticipating that they don't have an agreement yet. He's been offered, and you know, if they could work that part of it out, it probably could go down pretty quick. But, you know, that's when you get the lawyers involved and it could slow down. So, you know, we're just kind of on standby, working our Super Bowl stories, getting ready for that, and keeping an eye on the Falcons situation also today.
So there's no hang up as far as, you know, how much say Dirk Carter is going to have here in this office or anything like that? Because that's what I was speculating this morning.
No, I just went back and looked at the files. The key that they want is somebody who could be adaptable, that's going to be able to marry the parts of their offense that they like with some wrinkles and new things. So, and Dirk did that before when he came here in 2012. He had to blend in, Malarkey's power game with his vertical game. So same thing would be the situation there here. They kind of already have the vertical game tied off of the outside zone. He also came in, didn't change the terminology, and made it real comfortable for Matt Ryan. And that first year they went to, you know, the championship game, up 17 points. The defense falls apart in the second half. We know how that story went. In the next 2 years, the line fell apart. But, you know, that wasn't his fault that they didn't draft the right lineman. And, then they were out of here after 3 years, starting in 2012, 13, and 14. But, yeah, no, he if they can come to a meeting of the minds on how they're going to flow an offense, which Dirk has shown to be adaptable in the past, then it makes total sense. Hugh, what they couldn't do is bring in another first-time coordinator, somebody trying to find their way in the league as a signal caller. Like Steve Sarkisian, they needed a veteran soul in that building that, you know, he can hand the offense over to and, you know, let it keep on moving.
Yeah, that makes sense.
While he's calling defensive plays.
Yeah, that makes sense. So D-Lay, with all that being said, is this coming up this season, is that a make-or-break year for Coach Quinn?
I don't think so. I know why everybody's saying that, he tanked all his coordinators. Mr. Blank don't play. I got the 23 on the contract. So I don't see him eating 4 years on the contract. Maybe 2022, but it's out there. So I don't see him eating that much of the contract. So he's got 2 years at least. And if he keeps winning, he's got, you know, plenty more. But, a 4-12 or another, you know, season with a bunch of injuries and stuff like that, and he ends up, you know, then that's, you know, that's going to be a bad situation for everybody in the building.
Dear Orlando Ledbetter of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution joining us, talking about some of the developments in what is a very intriguing offseason for the Atlanta Falcons. I think that's putting it mildly. D-Led, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to take your reporter hat off, and I want you to play Falcons fan for a second. What, just as a fan, do you think that reaching back to Dirk Cutter and what we saw from those 3 years with Matt Ryan, do you think this is going to work?
Yeah, I think so. He got, he got fired in Tampa, but that offense was number one in the league in passing. So I think, you know, the talent is there. As a fan, I see what's going on Twitter, but I try not to be influenced by it.
Mm-hmm.
Some fans are not happy with it. Some are happy with it. But football fans have to, you know, stand back and take a look and see that this would be a good move for the Falcons.
You know, it's interesting, too, if it is a move. There's some interesting fallouts here because you mentioned, you know, that he had nothing to do with that Peter Kontz offensive line back in 2013 and whatnot. And yet he inherits a team that has serious issues on the offensive line.
Yeah, no question about it. They know it. They're only comfortable with two starters. They told y'all that. So they're going to do what they can to fix it. Maybe they can get it right this time around.
Does that mean Ryan Schrader's here or is he gone? By your guesstimation.
That contract's kind of tough to eat, Hugh. I bring him back or try to renegotiate with him, but if I'm his agent, I'm hanging up the phone on that. we got a deal. Honor the deal. You know, they always want the players to honor the deal. You know, let's make the team honor this deal. I would bring him back, Hugh, get him some extensive training, some, you know, whatever he needs. Something happened. He wasn't the same player last year.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm going to try to do is give him a shot to make it back, because I don't want to eat that much of that contract. So I would, whenever the offensive line coach, somebody, I got to spend time with him, find out what's going on in his head. And he wants to come back. He thinks he can get back to where he was at.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that guy was blocking Von Miller and holding up against some of the best. And then this year, T.J. Watt, running around him like he's at the playground. So I'll try to save him, salvage my investment, and see if I can put him back together and then, you know, make a real true evaluation if that's possible early on in training camp and then, you know, move on and eat that money.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking, because it's like, even though, you know, you made that assessment of your offensive line, you got some brothers on that line. You got some cats on that line you paid a lot of money to that you have to keep. Like, you know, I know that, you know, you talk about they're cap-friendly deals, but if you don't have to spend that money or you don't have to lose that money, you don't want to do that.
Yeah, no question about it. You don't want to be upside down on the cap where you got just too much dead money that you can't even, go out and function properly. But, yeah, they've done a great job of managing the cap over the 10 years that Dimitroff has been in there with Nick Pope, and they've made some mistakes. You know, they had to eat some contracts before. They ate the Sam Baker one early, so you know if they got to do it, they'll do it. But they're trying not to.
Dear Orlando Ledbetter, we'll see if Dirk Cutter accepts the offer of the Atlanta Falcons to return as the offensive coordinator. You know, one little thing, D, we were talking to you and I, and I had to look it up. Ryan Fitzpatrick is a free agent. It made me wonder, could he wind up here with Dirk? I just throwing it out there, just wondering. That's all.
Yeah, he's 35. They got to do something. Matt Schaub's contract is up. I think they got to go young at that spot, though, John. Because that $4 million that Schaub was getting, you need that on a position player now.
Yeah, and that's what it would cost you to get Fitzpatrick, is about $4 million, I would think. Yeah, so, you know, maybe that's the case as well. And yeah, maybe Kirk Benkert is just your backup, or they draft somebody or bring somebody in. I don't know. Trevor Siemian is a name I've heard floated around, too. All right, D-Led, we get ready for this. Do appreciate your taking a few minutes. Do keep us up to date. We'll be monitoring your Twitter. Anything breaks out of Flowery Branch, give us a shot, would you?
Well, I will do that, certainly, John. Thanks for having me. And just on the backup quarterback real quick, Sean Rimpey was Ryan's quarterback during Dirk's last tenure, as they did the young quarterback thing to save cap money
right.
back then.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yep. I do remember. Thanks, D-Led.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. Take care. Have a great day.
You too. The Orlando Ledbetter. And again, we're monitored from Flowery Branch. The offer has been extended to Dirk Cutter to return as the offense coordinator for the Falcons. Will he accept it? All right, your chance right now to win $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
monkey. I just reported it's a random generator.
I'm gonna leave this one alone.
Monkey, M-O-A-K-E-Y, monkey to 72881.
It's
probably not often that people tell you to text monkey to somebody, but
Jesus, take the wheel.
Text monkey to somebody. Message to Jada Race Man. Probably do not text or drive. But rules 99 in the game.
Oh, I'd so get fired if I said I was going to say I would so be fired. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I'm just going to sit here and just enjoy this, the code word of the day, and just, you know, keep my thoughts to myself. John, say something. You're making it awkward.
No, I'm just letting you have your moment here. Monkey to 72881. Okay.
How about that game last night? It was great.
How about that game last night?
Who said Alabama?
Who said that was going to be a snore fest? That was exciting.
Yeah, it was actually a bit of a snore fest.
Well, it wasn't a snore fest. It was very exciting. It was fun
to
watch.
Game.
Second half, it was a blowout.
How about that, Trevor Lawrence?
Amazing. I know.
He looked like the quarterback from the Remember the Titans. I can't remember his name.
Sunshine.
Never seen that
Sunshine.
Movie.
Yes. Say, give it up for Sunshine.
And
Sunshine
and
made me think of Harlem Nights, too. Yeah, because I thought of Harlem Nights.
I was thinking he would look more like Jackie Earl Haley in Bad News Bears with that hair.
Sunshine.
Two questions to ask you about last night.
We need to get out of this segment.
I'm trying.
Just, you know, time seems so slow right now.
Hey, you Clemson fans, you have a chance to kind of jump in here and let us know how you feel. Is Clemson the real king of the college football playoff era? Is Dabo Swinney the real best coach of college football? I'm just throwing it out there, okay? Clemson, the national champion. Georgia, by the way, ended up in the final AP poll, tied for 7th. They were tied with Florida for number 7 in the final rankings. More discussion on the college football championship. We'll hear from Tua and Trevor next on Sports Radio 92 on The Game.
The 3rd annual Game Bowl Paper Football Championship is coming Saturday, January 26th at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs. Register for free now and you might win a grand. Sign up at 929thegame.com/Game Bowl. The 3rd annual Game Bowl Paper Football Championship. From Sports Radio, 929 The Game.
Tide crowd in this end, making some noise. And backpedaling, Lawrence flips it open. Wide open. Justin Ross, off and running. The Alabama native wins the foot race, and Clemson strengthens its grip on this championship game.
That was a moment that was probably over on ESPN as Clemson made it 38-16. Alabama could do nothing offensively in a, I think, fair to say, shocking NCAA title game. Not necessarily all that shocking that Clemson would win, given the fourth year in a row between these two teams. And if there's a team that could play with Alabama, Clemson has certainly proven that it is that team and beat Alabama on that kind of a stage. And Dabo Swinney's proven he's that coach. But just in the way it happened, Hugh, I mean, from 16-14, when Alabama took the lead 42 seconds into the second quarter, the game was over.
Bludgeoning, to that bludgeoning.
It was.
I mean, I thought I'd never see a day in my lifetime where Alabama was struggling to score. I mean, especially when you talk about all the strides that they made offensively this year, with arguably being the most balanced team in Alabama's history, or one of the most balanced teams, to have them do that, that was amazing. That was amazing the way that Clemson played, no question about it. No, and I'm not going to be one of those persons that slights Clemson in their performance defensively. Because, you know, some people are probably trying to spin it like, well, Alabama, Tua was still a little bit banged up. Nah. They came out and they played. They put a whomping on those fellas.
And did it without Dexter Lawrence.
Yeah. It kind of makes you wonder if he would have played, what it would have been like. Would it have been any worse than it already was?
There was a stat on ESPN. Stats are what you make of them. But I want this to soak in for a second because it speaks to Nick Saban, it speaks to Alabama, and it speaks to what last night was. The stat was, in games decided by 15 points or more, Alabama under Nick Saban, games decided by 15 points or more, Nick Saban's record at Alabama is now, after last night, 106-1.
Yeah.
That's
first time for everything.
That doesn't happen.
And before I jump on that bandwagon of is Alabama done and all this other stuff, they got to have another couple seasons. They got to be a conversation that's about 2 years from now.
Right.
That can't be, you know, you lost one game and all of a sudden Alabama has fallen all the way off.
No.
No,
that hasn't happened. But I will say this, Georgia's kind of caught up. I mean, from a talent standpoint, Kirby's caught him. I mean, make a play, they beat him twice, but they didn't make the play.
See, now we're talking about ifs and maybes. Factually last night, factually, Clemson beat the brakes off of Alabama. Like, they beat the break. Like, that's a fact. You can say, like, not you, but I'm saying Georgia fans can say all you want about how we're close. You didn't get the job done. Close but no cigar. Clemson went out there and handled their business, and they did it in a way where it really leaves no speculation of how it went down. I mean, that's a butt-whooping that people are going to be talking about for a while. That's the kind of butt-whooping that a bully takes, that you can still be the bully because it ain't too many cats on the block that's going to try you. But every time you turn around, they can talk about that butt whooping that you took. Yeah, but you did. But so-and-so whooped your butt. You ain't going to say that to Clemson. You might say that to me, but you ain't going to say that to Clemson. And everybody, is going to be watching that tape, that Clemson tape, and they're going to try to dissect it. And they probably even going to try to emulate the kind of defensive players that Clemson has to see if they can get guys like that to come to school there.
No, I just pulled up the Alabama schedule next year. I don't see where they're losing. Where are they losing? They're playing Duke here to start the season.
Duke, bring forth the sacrificial lamb.
New Mexico State.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They about to beat
South Carolina, Southern Miss, Ole Miss. They have a bye before they play at A&M. They play Tennessee, Arkansas, get another bye, second bye, play at LSU. So they have a bye before the A&M game, a bye before the LSU game, and then with Mississippi State, Western Carolina, and then on the road at Auburn. So, I mean, yeah, Alabama's going to be right there again next year. I mean, we all know that. After the game last night, both Tua and Trevor talked. Let's begin with Trevor Lawrence and the star that he became last night on the national stage. College football fans were fully aware of what he did, taking over in Game 5 and then leading Clemson to this national title. But last night, that was the moment, as ESPN said this morning on its website, that legend was born. Here's Trevor Lawrence talking about this win last night and the way it happened.
It's amazing, you know, and it's you see it out here, I know, but I get a lot of credit for stuff that, you know, I'm only like not even half of it, so my teammates, these coaches did an unbelievable job, and I just love everyone that's been a part of this journey, and man, it's been an awesome journey, and you know, it's really unbelievable.
All right, one more from Trevor Lawrence talking about sending the seniors out in this blaze of glory.
It's just amazing. The leadership we've had from these seniors has been, you know, I've never been a part of anything like it. So really just so blessed and fortunate that this is my first year in college and I got to be with these guys.
I think the only thing that Trevor Lawrence has to fear is himself. And what I mean by that is, you know, I know it's going to be extremely hard, but just remain humble and remain hungry. Because we've seen young quarterbacks in situations like this, for young football players in general,
mm-hmm.
that or young athletes, let me just make it even more general, that have come in and much is given to them early. And some can handle it and some can't. I'm not saying that he can't handle it, but I think it the only person that's going to be able to stop Trevor Lawrence is Trevor Lawrence at this point.
For Tua Tagovailoa, a little bit of a sting for the end of the season. I mean, he loses out on the Heisman to Kyler Murray, loses out on the national title to Trevor Lawrence.
We had a great season, but just five words. Good is not good enough. We didn't finish the way we wanted to finish. We didn't do the things we needed to do to execute and be successful in this game, and that's all it is.
You know, I saw some things that, for what we know of Tua and his limited body of work, I don't know if they were uncharacteristic or not, but the first interception, he simply didn't see. He said it was on me. The other interception, he just forced it downfield because I think Hewitt's come so easy to him this year where you could get Ruggs or Judy free in the secondary that, you know, Brent Venables dialed up all these, you know, things that he hadn't seen.
But that was a bad throw.
It was a bad throw.
From the beginning, John, yeah. Because you got three people over there.
I know.
You got three people over there. You threw it. Like, you threw – I don't know – what you saw, or did you think the receiver was going to make that play? It was three people in that vicinity. That would be, if I'm a quarterback, and I know, you know, it's more to it than just that. You got to have the time and everything. But it's three people in one area. That means somebody on some other side of the field is open. And I know he didn't have that much time, but still, you know, that was probably not I'm pretty sure that's a throw that he wanted to get back. But not only that, I think what I saw during the course of the game, John, was you know, okay, Clemson, you know, they score. Alabama comes and scores. They go back and forth a little bit. And then all of a sudden, it's like Clemson just went Super Saiyan. They elevated their game. And Alabama thinking like, oh, we got this. It's going to be okay. Because you heard, too, on the sideline, when I think he threw the second pick. It's cool. It's cool. Like, you know, just being confident. Until at some point. And I'm thinking probably when they came back out after halftime because, you know, they went into, they ran a play. They didn't run a play last 30 seconds or whatever. They said, we just get back at the half. At halftime, they come out and you just like, man, Clemson took it to another level. And then you just knew it was kind of over. You knew it was nothing that Alabama could do to come back. And you even saw Coach Saban on the sideline kind of look like he didn't coach with that same, to me. It didn't look like he had that same kind of fire. It was kind of looked like, you know what, we walked into a buzzsaw. And, you know, the best thing that we could do for this situation is just let the clock run out and get ready for next year, because this is a wrap. This team is on another level. This team is high power. Clemson is high power.
Well, think about all the quarterbacks in college football. Now you got Tua coming back at Alabama. You got Trevor Lawrence coming back at Clemson. You have Justin Fields now at Ohio State, where he could really explode under that offense at Ohio State. You have Auburn getting the number one pro style quarterback in the nation in Bo Nix. You have Oklahoma getting the number one ranked dual threat quarterback with a great name, Spencer Rattler, to go to Oklahoma. I mean, next year is going to be wide open and wild, you know, when it comes to these quarterbacks. And it'll be interesting because I think you're seeing, you know, and I was saying in the game last night, I still believe that Tua Tagovailoa is going to be an extremely good NFL quarterback.
Yeah, but I think all the focus is going to be on Trevor Lawrence next year. All of the focus is going to be on Trevor Lawrence next year and how he develops in his second season. He's going to be under tremendous amount of pressure to be better than he was this year. Tremendous amount. Because to come in your freshman year, true freshman, and do what you've done, mm-hmm. only the second freshman to do it? The last one was in, what, 1921 or something crazy like that?
1985.
Oh, 85? No, the last team to go 15-0 was in 1921.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's what, excuse me, got my stats mixed up. But still, to be able to do that, yeah, you got a lot of pressure on you. And if you got some folks listening that you're kinfolk, just be cool on campus, man, because it's going to be different. Just be cool and keep your head up. Keep your head on straight. And be cool, because this, you know, teachers and stuff going to be treating you a whole lot different.
Yeah, you're a national champion. You're the Heisman favorite.
And you're 19. And
you're going, yeah, right, exactly. You're 19 years old. A lot of coming to it. Yeah, and let's not forget, there's going to be a second Tagovailoa on campus at Alabama next year, because Tua's younger brother, Tolia, is going to be the backup quarterback for Tua. So it'll be Tua and Tolia for the Alabama Crimson Tide, the two Tagovailoas at quarterback next year. For you can't just put T Tagovailoa. They're gonna have to. How are you gonna? It's gonna be T U period Tagovailoa and T A period Tagovailoa. I guess, man, that's gonna be a long name on the back of that jersey. But Alabama would be fine. I mean, don't kid yourself. Alabama's gonna be fine. Clemson will be preseason number one. Alabama will be number two. Georgia possibly number three with Ohio State. I mean, same cast of characters. Most likely the same cast of characters. We could get Trevor and Tua again, we could get Fields and Fromm. Now, wouldn't that be something if we got a semifinal game next year? Because remember, what if we get the semifinal game between Fields and Fromm here? Because the Chick-fil-A game is a semifinal game. Now, that would be something. That'd be pretty cool. I have to say, I wouldn't want that, because I don't want Ohio State to win, but it'd still be pretty cool.
I agree. I know Ohio State looking for a defensive quarter right now because Greg Schiano's out of there. He's gone. Bye-bye.
Yeah, Ryan Day now the new head coach at Ohio State, but he's got the number one rush end and now Justin Fields. So there you go. When we get back, another foray into what is known as the Windy Zone. Next on The Morning Show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, everybody stand up!
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is The Windy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, when Bears kicker Cody Parkey failed to convert on that game-winning field goal from 43 yards, he sort of became the scapegoat for most Chicago Bears fans in the way the Bears season ended. And we'll note that the ball was tipped. It wasn't shown on the broadcast, but yes, the ball was tipped. But one Chicago brewery not ready to give up on Cody Parkey just yet. It's Goose Island Beer Company. They're willing to give a Bears fan a year's supply of free beer if he or she can make a 43-yard field goal. So kicking isn't normally simple. So let me just read their thread that they posted on Twitter. Again, this is a brewery up in Chicago. They said, a lot of armchair kickers on here saying that they could hit that field goal, which we find doubtful. You're going to sit there on your throne of potato chips and vape pens and criticize this dude's athleticism. Get real. So they continue to say, So you know what we're going to do? Build a dang field goal post in the middle of the street outside of our brewery, and all you pro athletes can come out and prove us wrong. This weekend, during normal taproom hours, we'll have a chance for you to show off your kicking skills. Hit the 43-yard field goal, and you'll win beer for a year and eternal glory. More info coming. And then their final tweet said, also, it was tipped. So kind of like what the Browns fans, you know, sort of did in Bourbon Street when they missed the field goal against the Saints in the game that they could have won. This brewery in Chicago doing the same thing for fans.
They may regret offering free beer for a year. I think you may have a few guys who convert.
43-yard, yeah. It'd probably be a few.
Especially some soccer players.
Yeah, yeah.
If they drink.
Yeah.
But let me ask you guys this, though. When Alabama's field goal kicker missed that extra point last night, did you immediately think of the Chicago field goal kicker?
You know, I didn't. I didn't.
I did.
I didn't think of him.
Well, speaking.
No, you got it.
Speaking of those crazy Bears fans, let's go to the Eagles fans who are now sending Cody Parkey money on Venmo to thank him for missing the potential game-winning field goal. You can see how much other people are sending, but one guy shared this screenshot of his brother sending $8 to cover a beer for Parkey, and another person said they were sending $2, one for each goalpost. But just be careful on who you're actually sending your money to, because it could not be, obviously, the real Cody Parkey, but a lot of people starting to create accounts, and Eagles fans are sending money to that missed field goal.
I can see Eagle fans doing that. I can see that.
It sounds very Eagles-like.
Yeah, it does. It does. It's going to be. And you best believe, I've already gotten calls from Eagles fans asking me, am I coming to New Orleans for the game this weekend? Because they're going to be posse'd up, and they're going to be down, and they're going to be loud, man. It's going to be bananas.
Yeah, I feel for the poor guy. I just do.
Cody Parkey?
Yeah.
Cody Parkey make $10 million? Y'all better get out y'all feelings. He'll be all right.
He signed a 4-year, $15 million deal, 60% of it guaranteed at signing.
Come on. So what you crying for? Cody Parkey is not thinking about you. Cody Parkey is going to be okay. Cody Parkey is going to kick for the Bears next year. Cody Parkey is going to get another opportunity to miss some field goals.
Well, he might not kick because there's Bear fans who've set up GoFundMe pages to buy out his
No,
contract.
And I'm pretty sure, listen, and I'm
it's
pretty
not,
sure that there
him.
Are some, go, I, I'm pretty sure there's some Bears fans out there right now that have probably threatened Cody Parkey's life.
Yeah, but the Bears fans have misplaced. I mean, Cody Parkey had 9 points in the game. The offense had 6. And by the way, the last
nobody
field goal was
sees
blocked.
It, nobody sees it like that, John. You're right. And that defense only gave up 16 points. That Bears defense, 16 points, that's a pretty good day. Like, your offense, really, if you want to break it down, should have never been in that situation.
Right.
Should have never been in that situation to have him to kick it. But don't happen like that. He's a kicker. Kickers don't get no respect. Kickers are asked to do one job. And when you got to do your job, do it.
That's why, Falcons fans, you need to know how spoiled you have been during the Matt Bryant era.
Yeah, Matt Bryant going, this is, hey, But you got the Del Vecchio. You might have Del Vecchio.
Giorgio Tavecchio?
Did I say what I say? Tavecchio? DeVecchio.
Yeah.
Tavecchio.
Tavecchio, yeah.
Yeah, I'm killing his name. I kill
you
names.
Got it.
I kill names on a regular.
Giorgio Tavecchio reminds me of Papa Giorgio from Vegas Vacation. John, if you've never seen that movie.
I've seen Vegas Vacation.
It's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, Matt Bryant, yeah.
You
if
saw
Matt
a movie?
Bryant was kicking, it was a wrap. Kissed the baby.
Well, you remember me telling you guys that the coaches' film room was sort of scrapped with the original coaches that ESPN does for the Monday Night Football crew of Joe Tessitore, Jason Witten, Booger McFarland. You know, they did the game last night instead of the regular coaches. Well, it's an excellent idea of putting college football minds in one room, but mind you, these guys have not called one college football game this season, and you know how we like to have fun with Jason Witten and all the mistakes that he's made on Monday night. Well, it has happened again last night during the college football national championship game, and I love Jason Witten Tuesdays. I'm really going to start missing these things.
You said Jason Witten Tuesdays.
Okay. All right. So as Alabama kicked off the game, Clemson's Darian Kendrick called a fair catch at the 2-yard line, and apparently Witten was completely perplexed, and he asked, why'd he fair catch it? So Jason Witten had no idea that in college you could fair catch and it
right.
be
this
a touchback.
Right, this is the problem of putting in, you know. Did he ask about 1 foot in bounds? Did he ask about?
Well, the rule, if you don't know the rules, just don't say nothing.
Right.
That's the easiest thing to do.
Well, I don't even think well, he obviously didn't even know it was a rule, so he asked, like, why he fair caught well, it.
But isn't that on a producer to say, hey, guys, I know you're doing a college game. Understand there are different rules of the college game that we have to go over.
You would think.
Well.
Maybe.
No, not making any excuses, but producers probably going in thinking, oh, you know.
They know
maybe
football.
The talent, yeah. But the game is different.
Yeah,
the game is different. It's a different game.
Not a spot foul. Because
I never forget one time, because I'm thinking the pro game. It was a pass interference down the field. And I'm thinking they get it from the spot of the foul. Mm-hmm. No, that's only like, 10 yards, 15 yards?
Yard penalty,
that's 15 yards. But I'm thinking they get it down there. And I was like, oh, you don't get all the way down there? Because you tend to forget sometimes. So,
right.
But if you don't know, just don't say anything. That's your best bet. Just don't say anything. Lay out.
And just another tidbit from last night's national championship game, why we're all still talking about this morning. You know how Drake has always had these sports allegiances all over the map? They're always changing, and some of those sports allegiances haven't gone well for those particular sports teams. Well, a lot of Alabama fans are blaming Drake for their loss last night. So one person tweeted last night, so Kentucky basketball, where Drake was pictured in that Kentucky sweatshirt, no title since 2012 when he wore that sweatshirt.
Mm-hmm.
The Toronto Raptors, no finals appearances since Drake has been supporting that team. And also Conor McGregor, he was behind him during his fight against Khabib, and he lost. That was a submission. And then last night with Alabama's sweatshirt, obviously we know what happened.
So we're hoping he shows up at the Raptors-Hawks game tonight?
Indeed.
Yeah, he's been kind of bad. Like, I saw that. I saw him with an Alabama hoodie on, and I was like, oh, so he with Alabama now? Yeah, Drake kind of like bad luck. A little bit.
Rick and Jotter, good luck. And they're up top of the hour. Their thoughts on Alabama and Clemson and what the Tigers did last night. Next on Sports Radio 90 Tonight on the Game.